Let's pray. Father God, I pray that the words you've given me, I will speak. I pray, Lord, that you will open our ears. Lord, that we will hear from you. Lord, I give you thanks for your word, that we can come around it and we can find such pearls, such wisdom, such truth, knowing that it is inspired by you. So, Father God, we sit at your feet now and listen to what you would have to say to us. In your precious name, amen. So I said we were going to be looking at momentum. And part of that is going to be celebrating where and what God has been doing in our faith in the last 12 months. Since we cleaned up this house and we got lots of different things in place. What is momentum? There are fixed laws in heaven and on earth. One of them is the law of gravity. And other laws include the law of motion. Any object at rest tends to stay at rest, and an object in motion tends to stay in motion. It takes less force to keep moving an object that is already moving than the force required to move an object at rest. And I want you to think about that statement as we talk about momentum in the church and in our lives. Momentum, the force or energy exhibited by a moving object, the impetus gained by a moving object, which is also known as linear motion. So momentum is going to be, I guess, the thrust of what we're going to look at over the next few weeks. I went to a Hillsong conference many years ago, and looking through my old notes during the week, I found a quote by one of the speakers, and it was actually Brian Houston, who's the senior pastor at Hillsong. And his quote was, "Spiritual momentum is the engine propelled by a healthy soul. If you focus on the health of the church, then you will grow, because healthy things grow." Momentum happens when individuals get up, so they're not at rest. They get up and move in the spirit, and they take steps. That is the beginning of momentum. I want us to look at Acts chapter 4, verses 1 to 35. I'm going to stand to one side so we can see it. It's going to be screened up on the screen. While Peter and John were speaking to the people, they were confronted by the priests, the captain of the temple guard, and some of the Sadducees. These leaders were very disturbed that Peter and John were teaching the people that through Jesus there is a resurrection of the dead. They arrested them and, since it was already evening, put them in jail until morning. But many of the people who heard their message believed it. So the number of men who believe now totaled about 5,000. The next day, the council of all the rulers and elders and teachers of religious law met in Jerusalem. Annas the high priest was there, along with Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and other relatives of the high priest. They brought in the two disciples and demanded, "By what power or in whose name have you done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of our people, are we being questioned today because we've done a good deed for a crippled man? Do you want to know how he was healed? Let me clearly state to all of you and to all the people of Israel that he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, the man you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. The Jesus is the one referred to in the scriptures where it says, 'The stone that you builders rejected has now become the cornerstone.' There is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved." The members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing right there among them, there was nothing the council could say. So they ordered Peter and John out of the council chamber and conferred among themselves. "What should we do with these men?" they asked each other. "We can't deny that they've performed a miraculous sign, and everybody in Jerusalem knows about it. But to keep them from spreading their propaganda any further, we must warn them not to speak to anyone in Jesus' name again." So they called the apostles back in and commanded them never again to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, "Do you think God wants us to obey you rather than him? We cannot stop telling about everything we have seen and heard." The council then threatened them further, but they finally let them go because they didn't know how to punish them without starting a riot, for everyone was praising God for this miraculous sign, the healing of a man who had been lame for more than 40 years. As soon as they were freed, Peter and John returned to the other believers and told them what the leading priests and elders had said. When they heard the report, all the believers lifted their voices together in prayer to God. "O Sovereign Lord, Creator of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, you spoke long ago by the Holy Spirit through our ancestor David, your servant, saying, 'Why were the nations so angry? Why did they waste their time with futile plans? The kings of the earth prepared for battle. The rulers gathered together against the Lord and against his Messiah.' In fact, this had happened here in this very city. For Herod Antipas, Pontius Pilate the governor, the Gentiles and the people of Israel were all united against Jesus, your holy servant, whom you appointed. But everything they did was determined beforehand, according to your will. And now, O Lord, hear their threats. and give us, your servants, great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After this prayer, the meeting place shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they preached the word of God with boldness. All the believers were united in heart and mind, and they felt that what they owned was not their own, so they shared everything they had. The apostles testified powerfully to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's great blessing was upon them all. There were no needy people among them, because those who owned land or houses would sell them and bring the money to the apostles to give to those in need. And you can see how that linked in perfectly with what Ben was talking about this morning. You know, what happened there? They got together and they prayed. And they prayed and they prayed. And if you have a look at that passage again, and I'm going to challenge you to actually have a look at it during the week and just read through what actually happened. 5,000 were added to their number. Why? Because they'd seen that something had happened. They were filled with boldness and courage. They went out. They spoke of what they'd seen, what had happened. And they didn't just do lots of talk, but they did some practical things as well. They sold what they had, shared their possessions, and met people's needs. So there was no one needy among them. There was no resting in that place. There was movement, and with movement comes momentum. We've had some movement in our place. We've had lots of movement. We've had physical movement, and I'm going to, in a couple of weeks, we're going to just look at some of the things that we've done physically in this place. We've had spiritual movement. We've had lots of people who've come to know Jesus. We've had people who have chosen him step up and be baptised. And this morning, I'd just like to actually call up Ali. And Joe, yours is finally done. And we've got some others to give out when they're here, because Crystal and Renice are away. But congratulations, and just a certificate on behalf of our church. And, you know, you people have demonstrated that you're on the move with God. And I love seeing both of you just look so excited and positive, and Ali, you've always got some shine on your face at the moment, but you're part of momentum. So thank you very much. You can take those and keep those, and we've got some more to give out. Now, lots has been happening, but to keep the momentum, we need to pray. We need to be a praying church. And if we don't, we end up with distractions. Now, back in July, we had a time of prayer and fasting in our church. We saw some exciting things happen. After that time, and it's not a coincidence, we've had a number of people who have felt disconnected in some way, or there's been some issues happening. And in particular, and I'm not talking about anyone's personal private business, but some of it has been happening with our young emerging leaders. That's not a coincidence. Why is it happening? It's happening because the enemy sees that there is momentum in this place. And he sees that there's a whole generation of young couples and young people who are going to lead this church into the future. And so while they're fasting and praying, he's causing distraction in all sorts of ways, none of which is useful, all of which takes their eyes off the main thing. Now, fortunately, God is bigger than all of that. And with prayer and lots of talk and lots of coming to the Word, we've moved through some of that time. Now, I want to make it clear, we need to be a church that is committed to prayer. Not doing anything in our own strength, because when we call out to him, as it said in this story in Acts, the people were filled with what? Boldness and courage. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they knew exactly what God wanted them to be doing. And so I encourage all of us to be a church that is praying. Not praying when there's a disaster or a loved one's unwell. Not praying when you're in a connect group or in church, but praying daily. Praying constantly. How can you keep this relationship alive and active if you're not in prayer? We're going to have an opportunity on Saturday the 27th to gather with other believers from the Southern Forest region, and we're going to pray for our towns, for our region, and for chaplaincy. Hope WA is coming down to facilitate this, and HOPE stands for House of Prayer for Everyone, Western Australia. It is a Christian community that meets specifically for worshipping and praying together continuously for the transformation of our city, state, and beyond. So they give our state 24-hour prayer coverage. They are at the chaplains' conference, praying over the chaplains. They've not actually been to a country location before. But as we hear over and over again, they feel to come to Manjima. Why is that? Why is it that the busload that came down feel to come to Manjima? Excuse me, I'm feeling emotional because it makes me excited. Why is it that kin women who have never been to a regional centre feel to come to Manjimup? Why does Hope WA feel to come here? Because God is going to do amazing things in this place. Not just Manjimup, but this region. Now, we can be the object or the person at rest, or we can be on the move and part of that momentum. So on that day, they're going to come down. And on the Saturday night, from 7:30 through till 9, we're going to invite all the other churches and the pastors of the other churches, the congregation, to meet here, and we're going to intersperse worship with prayer for all our churches, but more importantly, for the people who are in our communities and for the chaplaincy work in all our schools in this region. Prayer, it's vital. You know, why do we exist? Why does Warren Valley exist? This is some of the things that it says on our website, and in a moment, we're going to just have a look up here. We're a family-friendly church that places an importance on a relationship with Jesus. We are empowered by the Holy Spirit and guided by the Bible. Would you agree? Is that us? Mm-hmm. It is. Together, we reach out into the community with friendship, generosity, and bringing a message of hope. How are you involved in that? Are you reaching out alongside your brothers and your sisters into this community with friendship, with generosity? And we do that. We do that well. And we're going to increase the way we do that. And bringing a message of hope. You know, for some people, it's a pretty hopeless world. Thanks, Evan.
Can you see? Am I on the wrong side?
Yeah. I'll need to read this. It's a little small. It says on our website, on the About Us, so when people from anywhere log in, this is what they read. Warren Valley Community Church exists to connect people to God. Warren Valley Community Church exists to connect people to God. All people, not just us sitting here, but people have not yet come to know him. Founded in faith and born from an old creamery in 1987, our church is located in the beautiful southwest town of Manjimup. Our Sunday morning service is held in Manjimup, but extends through the broader communities of Bridgetown, Pemberton and Northcliffe. We are passionate about church community and doing life together, so have a number of midweek studies that allow people to connect throughout the week. Our desire is that through our ministry, people of all ages are equipped to share Christ's message of salvation, embrace his heart for others, and live lives that demonstrate the joy and freedom he brings. Our message is one of hope, restoration, and life, and our heart to see this town and broader community transformed by the great love of our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Our desire, let's skip back, is that through our ministry, people of all ages are equipped to share Christ's message of salvation, embrace his heart for others, and live lives that demonstrate the joy and freedom he brings. That's who we are. It's great, isn't it? excited to be part of this?
Yep.
Are you? Yeah, I am. It's exciting stuff. Helping transform people's lives is so exciting. It's fantastic. My question is, how are we going to continue to move forward in this? What's next? What's God going to call us to do? How are we going to know what he's calling us to do? By praying. Praying and praying. And all of us, because we're part of our community, all of us have a direct line to God the Father. All of you will hear from him. And then we can share what we've heard from him to each other. Encourage each other to actually keep the momentum happening. You know, next week, I want us to cast our eye back to just see what he's been doing amongst us and in our church since last October. Why last October? Well, it's just a benchmark because it's when we celebrated the 30-year anniversary. But what has actually been happening? It's so exciting. There's been so much. So much so that the enemy goes, watch this space. Yes, he does. So much so that other people are saying, we're hearing from God that we need to come to Manjimup. And I can't tell you the number, and next week I'll actually try and make a list of the number of people who have contacted me and said, God is going to do something in this town. I was at Michael's and Belinda's 50th birthday week before. I met a man there from Cranbrook. He's an elder in the Anglican church there. We had a long conversation. We said goodbye. And then he chased me down and he said, I've got to tell you something. God is going to do something in your church. What's his name?
Yeah.
Thank you. And I said, thanks for that encouragement, Eric. I've actually heard it lots of times. You're confirming what God is already saying. Momentum happens when individuals get up, move in the spirit and take steps. Spiritual momentum is when individuals get up, move in the spirit and take steps. Last week I talked about spring cleaning. Cleaning up our mouth, our heart, luckily I've got it right here with me. See if anyone else can call it out. Ronnie, you're on the ball there. Yes. Heart, mouth, mind, secret places. And as part of that, untying unforgiveness. Spring clean is part of getting up. And momentum is us moving forward in the power of the Holy Spirit. Moving forward to be what God is calling us to be in this region. And when we do, this is what people will say. And I finished last week's sermon with this from Psalm. Thanks, Evan. We were filled with laughter And we sang for joy. And the other nations said, what amazing things the Lord has done for them. Yes, the Lord has done amazing things for us. What joy. We were filled with laughter. Not dispute, not despair, not confusion, not frustration. We were filled with laughter, filled with joy. And people will say, what is going on in the southern forest region? What is happening? God is doing an amazing thing, not just with us here, but with the people in our town, with the people in our community, with the people that we go to work with the people we have conversations with in the shop. All sorts of people will say, God is doing an amazing thing. And it won't be for their eyes to be on us. I'm going to look at humility as part of this month as well. Their eyes will be on Jesus. And they'll know that he's doing something incredible. So, momentum. Do you want to be part of it? An object at rest tends to stay at rest. An object in motion tends to stay in motion. We are already in motion. It takes less force to keep moving an object in a state of movement than the force required to move an object at rest. The impetus gained by the moving object is linear motion. Spiritual motion is the engine propelled by a healthy soul. If you focus on the health of the church, then you will grow. Healthy things grow. Church, let's get up. Move in the spirit and take steps. Ben encouraged us to be bold, to speak out that which gives us joy. He will enable us. He will give us the words. And often you just need to do life and God brings the people. And boy, does he bring the people. And they'll ask. They'll ask questions. Where? What? How? That's not freaky then. You just talk. What it is that gives you great joy. I'll see if I can find this. This is part of the witness that our church is already bringing to the community. I got this message sent from Archers a little while ago. Archers come and use this facility for funerals. I would have had it prepared. I wasn't going to use it, but I feel to use it today. So I'm sorry, just be patient with me. Here it is. Now this one is such a simple witness. Hi, Sue, just a quick message to acknowledge all the hard work that has been done in recent times to the Warren Valley Community Church. It presents excellently. Not to mention, it is exceptionally clean and is a real credit to you and your team. That's all of us, every one of us. I also appreciate the notes that were left with the media equipment yesterday to help us get all of that up and running. We appreciate your efforts in providing a welcoming environment for our families. Thanks again. Kind regards, Brody, Archer and Sons. Now that speaks volumes. And that wasn't hard, really. Keeping a place clean and tidy is not hard, but it's part of what we do and what we can do well. Our carpets got cleaned on Tuesday, and Steve, the guy who cleaned them, hung about for quite a while. First of all, he had one of his mates who's never been in church. He's come for a couple of funerals some years ago. And he made the comment that lots of people make, well, the roof will probably fall in because I'm in church. And we had a laugh about that. And then he looked around, he said, whoa, check out this place. It's looking really good. And so Steve, who was last cleaned the carpets back in October last year, he suddenly took ownership and he showed his mate around and said, oh, yes, yeah, they've knocked the wall down and they've built this room. And anyway, it was quite lovely watching him do it. After they'd finished, his mate left and Steve sat down. It was the beauty of being on holidays because he sat down at the table and we had a long talk, probably for about an hour. And he talked about a funeral that was on this week, a big funeral, and how, you know, you don't know about the brevity of life. And we just touched on, you know, you're never knowing when your time's up. And then he said, so you've got this space, is this just, you know, for morning teas? And I said, well, no, we've got a bit of a vision about this being for breakfast, for people who, you know, would like to come and have a free breakfast. You know, now that the weather's warming up, we can start looking at that in detail and getting that happening. He said, oh, I love it when churches do stuff for the community. I didn't know that, you know, that kind of happened much. And then he said, hey, I don't know if you do raffles or anything, but I'd like to donate $150 carpet clean as something to do with one of your fundraising. Let me know, and if you need any more after that, I'm happy to help out. Now, that was really cool because he is interested in what's going on here, and he wants to see something positive coming out of what we do in that kitchen area. So, church, we are moving. Let's pray, pray, and pray. Father God, we give you thanks for the story in Acts of the early church. And Lord, for the many thousands that came to know you. Thank you for the boldness and the courage that you filled that church with, for their acts of generosity, for reaching out to those who were poor, for those who were in need. And Father God, as we look back and as we look forward, we give you thanks for the move that you are making in this place. And Lord, we just want to say thank you for choosing and using us. We are available wherever you call us, Lord. Help us to hear from you and to know clearly what you would have us do. So, Lord, we say thank you for your word. We say thank you for prayer. And, Lord, we look forward to a week with all sorts of things that you've organised for us to be involved in. And Lord, we say thank you for that. In your precious name, amen.